And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Welcome to the Leaf Report. This is Clark here. Hello, everybody.
James, we are into July. The weather's starting to get nicer, although not so much today. Are you feeling good about life? You know, things seem to be slowly kind of getting back to normal. We're in a good spot, I think. Getting better.
Yeah, I got the double vax there on the weekend. So
whoop-de-whoop.
Yeah. So there's no more worrying about. finding the website and waiting in the queue to get an appointment and do all that stuff. And obviously there's, you know, the caseloads and everything in Ontario are way down. So go get your vaccination, everybody.
All right. Go get it. Agreed. 100%. And it's pretty easy to get it done. But James, just off the top, I think we just want to thank everyone for listening. It's the off season. But there's still a lot going on. So today we've got three topics, two pretty big topics and one smaller topic to get into. We're going to discuss Morgan Riley's situation, which you and I obviously wrote about. If you haven't read that story, go to The Athletic, or if you haven't signed up, go to theathletic.com/leafreport and check that out. And then today, on the day that we're recording this, we released a deep dive into goalie options for the Leafs to pursue this summer with Frederik Andersen, a pending UFA. And then we'll get into Wayne Simmonds sticking around for a couple more years. So I leave it to you, James. What would you like to discuss first, Riley or the goalies?
Well, let's talk about the goalies. They're kind of fresh in mind, given that we've been working on that story the last few days.
Okay. So where do you want to start with this? I think what we went into this process thinking, well, are there really that many options that are better than Frederik Andersen? I think I came away with thinking, yes. Obviously, Frederik Andersen's had two pretty tough years. What did you kind of learn from going through the process, talking to people, looking into numbers and all that?
Yeah, I think that that's right. I think that we ended up coming up with a list of 16 goalies that made some level of sense and that are potentially available to the Leafs. And I think most of them would work, you know, to varying degrees. So
the complicated thing, I think, in us figuring out this story is that when you have 16 names, it makes sense. That's a lot. Like, it's not like you can do a deep dive on 16 different goaltenders. So, and measuring goalie success is like, we had some guys in there who had only played like 30 NHL games. And then you have other guys who were Vezina Trophy, Stanley Cup winning goalies. Like, how are you supposed to compare the two? So it was an interesting exercise to try and compare them as fits for the Leafs. And we tried to weigh things like how much will it cost to acquire them? What will their cap hit be? You know, what is, you know, what's their contractual situation? Do they have term on their deal? Things like that. But also obviously weighing their ability and the likelihood that they're going to be a good goalie for the Leafs. I would not bring Frederik Andersen back. I think that there's a lot of options, and I just think that there's a bit of bad mojo around Frederik Andersen. His last two seasons in Toronto were his two worst seasons.
Yeah.
And I also think that he's going to be able to command a contract in free agency from another team that is willing to take a chance on him rebounding to what he was. And I don't think the Leafs are going to be able to do that.
Yeah. I say, like, my initial thought is like, there's no way someone's going to give him $5 million plus a year. And yet you look like last offseason, Matt Murray got a big contract. Brayden Holtby got a big contract. Those guys,
you won't get five. I don't, like, it's in a flat cap environment.
You wouldn't so, but like,
unless he's willing to go to like somewhere that makes no sense. I don't know.
I mean, what if Edmonton comes to, like, what is, you know what I mean? Like, it all it takes is one.
But they don't have a lot of cap space, though.
True. Like Carolina, maybe. Although they're not going to overspend, I wouldn't think.
I don't think he's going to get, you know, there was a report that he was interested in getting a big contract again. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think that there could be, you know, there have been teams that have kicked tires on Frederik Andersen the last couple of years. Certainly last summer when there was talk that the Leafs might move on from him. I think that he could get like 3 years at like $3.5 million, and a contract like that makes no sense at all for the Leafs. And some of the goalies that I liked, you know, like Khudobin, you know, they're going to get term on their deals. And I don't know if I'm the Leafs that if I really want a goalie that's going to have like 3 years on their contract.
Well, so I think the Andersen situation, we should take a second and break down a little further. I agree with you. I don't see any way that you can do it. I understand that you could look around and be like, well, all these other options, like, are they really better than Andersen? Like, are they worth the cost? But like, given what's happened, I just don't think you can do it. Like, I think it would be a mistake. Like, obviously there's the possibility that he comes back and in some world, like, he redeems himself, he plays well. And like, I just don't think you can take the chance after what's gone on. And like you talked about the bad mojo, like, it doesn't feel right that you bring him back after everything that's happened.
I think the only way it happens, Jonas, is if, you know, the Leafs miss out on their top four or five options for who they wanted, and Frederik Andersen isn't able to get what he was expecting.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like musical chairs, and there's one chair left and one goalie. Yeah. But there's one goalie left, and the Leafs are like, want to come for 1 year at $2 million or $2.5 million?
Yeah.
That's fair. The only way it would work. I don't think it's gonna happen. I think someone else is gonna take a chance on him, and the Leafs are gonna have to take a chance on a different goalie.
It's time. Like, you can only, like, I get their stance in some ways with their core, but like, you can't keep running the same thing back over and over and again and just like expect the results to change. Let's go through some of the names that kind of intrigued us, and we'll start kind of near the bottom. You mentioned Khudobin. It's funny, like, you and I both liked him, and yet he scored third from the bottom. And obviously the reasons, as we pointed out, are his age. He's 35 and he's got two more years at 3.33. Is there a world in which, like, if Dallas was willing to eat some of that contract, that you would really look at that more closely in spite of, you know, some of the red flags, I guess you would call them?
Yeah. I mean, like, if Dallas says, you know what, we'll eat half that contract. And I mean, if he had 1 year left on his deal,
it's a no-brainer. It
makes a lot of sense. He moves quite. I just worry that he didn't have a great season. He's an older goalie, and he's got the 2 years. I don't really want him at 3.3 for 2 years. If they're going to eat a big chunk of the contract, and all of a sudden, you know, he's in the low twos, maybe. Maybe that makes sense.
Because in the couple years before last year, he performed really well, and obviously he helped Dallas get to the Stanley Cup final. And from what I understand, there was some issues, you know, with his role last year. Playing time wasn't maybe the same as it had been. You know, Bishop was hurt. It just got a little muddier. But he's been pretty good in that kind of number 1B backup kind of role, and I think he'd be a nice fit with Campbell. So maybe if like you're saying, Dallas is willing to eat something. Like, I mean, Dallas has a complicated goalie situation. They got three guys. There's a chance that maybe, you know, Ronta Hudobin gets chosen in expansion. So we'll see. John Gibson, what do you think?
I think John Gibson is another one where the contract is the only thing that gives you the pause, because, you know, if you could take a chance on John Gibson for, you know, if he had like a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal and it was $4 million or $5 million or what, then, but he's got 6 years left at, what is it, 6.4 is the number, I think. Like, it's a big number. It's a lot of years. I know his save percentage has been low the last couple of years, but it's interesting. If you look at some of like the more advanced statistics, his numbers look a lot better.
Yeah. And James, you know what, just to interrupt you on that point, I went and watched some of their games just in this exercise, and it's just like chance, 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 chance. It's like they're giving up a lot. And you look, their team has obviously gotten worse the last couple of years. And what intrigues me about him is, like, you look in terms of like how we scored it in terms of ability, upside, he's like right near the top, because like right now you would be buying him at a low point. And you're betting that with a better team in front of him, he's going to get back to being like, right, maybe not a Vezina winner, but right on the edge of that conversation. It's just like you said, the contract just makes it such a big gamble. But like, if you're management, James, would any part of you just be like, you know what? If this doesn't work, we're not going to be here. Like, I don't think that's the way they operate. They've never shown that to be the case. But would any part of you just be like, this guy has the most upside, he's still young-ish?
Well, the thing we weren't able to determine in putting this together was, what would it take for Anaheim to trade him? My guess is, if they're going to trade him, and if the team wants Anaheim to retain salary, it's going to be a really expensive trade to make. So that's another factor that we looked at, is if you have to give up a major asset for a goalie, that decreases their value to the Leafs, because, I mean, for one, the Leafs don't have a lot of draft capital. They don't have a lot of prospect capital. And the other thing, there's a lot of goalies in our list that it's not going to cost anything for you to get. So you need Gibson to be that much better than all the other options if you're going to give up an asset and give up. And the Leafs just don't have a ton of cap space to dedicate to goaltending. Like, I don't. My guess is they're not going to spend more than $4 million on this goalie. And in an ideal world, it's going to be somewhere between like $2.5 and $4 million is what they're looking at spending on this next goalie. And when you get to a guy that's making 6.4, you would need Anaheim to retain a lot of that. And there's a lot of years left. So that would just up the asking price for what the Ducks are going to want.
Yeah. Well, the way I understand it is like, he's like their guy, in spite of everything that's gone on.
He's one of the best goalies in the league here for a number of years.
Right. And obviously they chose him over Frederik Andersen. Here's the thing I wonder with him, James. If I'm watching these playoffs and I'm watching Price and I'm watching Vasilevsky and I'm looking at some of the other guys on the list, how many of those guys are you thinking can be that goalie who gets you to a cup final? Now, maybe they think Jack Campbell could be that guy, and maybe you don't need a John Gibson, but like, what would be appealing to me is I would look at Gibson and say, he can be that for me.
Yep.
But, and that's the big thing. So let's move to the next couple guys that I want to kind of pinpoint together, because I think they're interesting and they ranked pretty closely, is Jaro Halak and Linus Ullmark. Which of the two do you kind of prefer?
Well, you know what? I think Ullmark will get more than 1 year on a contract. So, you know, one of the things that's kind of appealing about some of the goalies like Halak, who's older, and is he's probably just going to get a 1 year deal, and it's probably not going to be a lot of money. Like, I think Ullmark's going to get more years, and I think he's going to get more money than Halak. And there's no guarantee that his performance is going to be better.
Yeah,
I guess The Leafs are still don't know what Jack Campbell is fully. They need this coming yes. season to decide. So maybe you don't really want to commit to your second goalie very much. Maybe you really just want a guy that's got 1 year left on his deal. And then that makes this list a lot shorter than. But I mean, then again, to add like another layer to this, you could always trade one of the two goalies if it turns out that let's say you sign Allmark for 2 years or 3 years and he plays really, really well. And Campbell plays well. You could be like, well, that's not a bad situation to be in where you need to trade one of those guys.
Yeah, and that's the upside with Hallmark. He's younger. I think he's, 27? He's had two pretty good years. He just doesn't have like an especially long track record. And so if you're signing him to a two-year contract, you're kind of gambling a bit, and you're gambling obviously a little bit on Jack Campbell. And like our sense is that they're looking for a guy who can kind of complement Campbell and be the starter if Campbell kind of regresses some. The thing I like about Halak, like I liked him more than I thought I would, is I just think he kind of fits perfectly into what you're saying, what they need for a one-year solution. You can evaluate Campbell in the starter's role. He's a good number two. If he needs to play more, he can play more. He's experienced. He's played in the playoffs a bunch. Like I just kind of like the idea of what you're talking about with cap space. Maybe you're dedicating like under $4 million to your two goalies. And then, you know, if Campbell has a great year, he's a UFA next summer. You look at it and you look at, you kind of have more clarity. So Halak like,
yeah,
interests me.
If you can get
Halak
for like $2 million, which might be possible. And he has a pretty solid year, and Campbell has a solid year. You put yourself in a pretty good position because all of a sudden you've got a lot more money to spend elsewhere. The Leafs have roughly around $15 million to spend if they're not bringing Zach Hyman mm-hmm. back. If you only spend $2 million on the second goaltender, then you've got $13 million essentially to dedicate to two forwards in your top six and one more forward in your bottom six. And that's a quite a bit of money. Like you could bring in two $5 million forwards.
Well, and I've started looking into the options up front. There are a lot of options up front. Like there are a lot of pretty good players available, and that's not always the case, obviously, in free agency. So I kind of
like
that
up front. Who's the?
Oh, James, that's another podcast.
I know it is.
I have a whole
give us a kernel of excitement.
I have to pull up my spreadsheet.
Like Brandon Saad's kind of interesting to me. I mean, he's probably going to be too expensive for them to be interested in, but
that's the thing. Like with Brandon Saad, if you're going to sign Brandon Saad, you may as well sign Zach Hyman. Like I don't, but he's one of the names that's bolded on my list. Like Blake Coleman, Alex Wenberg, your boy Granlund. Like there's some interesting names that kind of fit
Schwartz.
What they're about. Jaden Schwartz. He didn't have a great year last year, but that guy can skate. But anyway, let's get back to the goalies. This one I think is pretty interesting. Alex Nedeljkovic in Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's going
to
be.
He doesn't make a lot of sense to me. He scored pretty high on our list. Obviously, he came fifth. I just don't really see it.
Well, I don't 100% know if he's going to be available or not. I mean, he had a good year. Carolina, you would think. I mean, he's been pegged as the goalie of the future in Carolina for a few years, but he's RFA and, you know, I mean, the Leafs could go the offer sheet route if they wanted, you know, or they could make a trade for him. So we included him on our list because I think potentially Carolina could go a different route with their goaltending. But it's interesting, you know, we have some. So like you don't like Nedeljkovic just because he's unproven, but then you had Driedger like so high on your list that
it's a very fair criticism.
I am levying that criticism.
I think it's fair. I questioned like Driedger feels high. Like I mean, we didn't game this. Like we didn't decide. We just put in our numbers and this is what it came out. I would like, if I was not going by the Myrtle goalie algorithm TM, I would have him probably fifth Driedger. But yeah, it's an interesting question. Like, why should you believe in Driedger's upside when Nedeljkovic was a better prospect, had obviously a really good season, doesn't have that much less experience? I don't know. Like, younger, by a couple years. Like,
you're buying into the big goalie theory lately, I see.
Yeah, he's 6'4".
There have been some good small goalies, though. Like, Saros had a pretty good...
He had a great year.
Yeah, he's had some good seasons, and he's probably the smallest guy in the league. Halak's not a big goalie.
I guess, let's follow up on that.
We have a bunch of small goalies on this list. Bernier.
Yeah, smaller. Yeah.
Hallmark's not big.
No.
Ranta's not big. Is he?
Kemper's big. Mm. Leonard's big. But let's follow up on Driedger, because I think that kind of gets at the heart of the issue with him is what we touched on before with Campbell. Like, you're already kind of rolling the dice a bit on Campbell. And as much as Driedger might get claimed in expansion, so this might be moot.
Yeah, but why would they claim a guy who's a UFA? I guess they could...
To sign him and make him their goalie, I don't know.
But they could just wait till he's UFA and sign him and make him their goalie.
Yeah, also true. Yeah,
maybe like I haven't looked at Florida's protect. Like, doesn't Florida have an issue with
that? They don't have great candidates.
Have to expose a pretty good defenseman though?
Not from the mock drafts that I saw.
Oh well, because I thought because Yandel has no movement clause, like they obviously have to protect Ekblad, Uyghur. It feels like Florida would have some. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I remember looking at the mock drafts like that the Athletic has done, and it's not great. But like if he's willing to sign like a 2-year deal for, I don't know, $3 million per, are you willing to kind of roll the dice?
I heard at one point there was going to be some sort of a side deal and that Seattle liked Driedger and they were going to figure something out with Florida to get to make it so that that was their guy. So we'll see if that comes to fruition or not. That was a rumor I had heard.
Hmm. All right. Before we get to the Vegas goalies, Darcy Kemper, I like the idea. He's got one more year left on his contract. Arizona is going nowhere right now. There was talk, obviously, last offseason that he was going to be a guy the Leafs, or he was a guy that the Leafs looked at closely and obviously didn't trade for. The price was high. I'd have to think the price is not the same. The first round pick, like, that's probably out the window now. If Arizona is willing to eat a chunk of that last year and you don't have to give up very much, like, he makes a lot of sense as like a 1B with Campbell.
Depending on what the trade looks like, that's the one that, from everything we went through, that's the one I would look at. That's the one that makes the most sense to me. I don't know what Arizona's going to want. I mean, the thing that's changed is that Kemper is coming off a really tough year where he was hurt most of the year and didn't play a lot.
Yep.
Arizona's not really competitive. And Arizona's got the Hill kid coming that they like.
Aiden Hill, yeah.
That they really like. Who they're, you know, talk is potentially they could protect him in expansion. And then all of a sudden Kemper's sitting there available. And and the thing too is that Kemper's had some really, really good years. You know, he's had some years as a number one where his numbers are right up there with the best goalies in the league. So,
yep.
You know, we talked about upside. I don't know what we gave Kemper for upside on this thing.
7.8.
Yeah.
Which was 4th highest,
right?
I believe.
So just behind like the best goalies on the list.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I like. Like, if you could get a goalie that potentially could just come out and have a monster season, that would make such a big difference for the Leafs. Like, if we're talking about Campbell getting 40 starts and this other goalie getting 40 starts, and let's say Campbell has a solid year and then this goalie comes out and is a 920 goalie.
Yep.
Goes a long way to the Leafs, you know, contending for the division or whatever.
Or winning. Yeah. And winning. Like, the point is to win. Like, they need a goalie who's going to help them win a cup. Speaking of which, the two Vegas goalies, now we think there's a chance that they're going to move one. We saw in the playoffs that they used both guys. They couldn't score. So you wonder if they're comfortable committing that much cap space about...
No, I think that they're going to think about trading one of the goalies is what it... That's what it sounds like to me.
So now, why would they trade Leonard? Like, wouldn't... The tough thing is Fleury just won the Vezina. Like, it's... But it's complicated. I mean,
Fleury was one of the first players on... He was the first marquee player they had.
Yes.
The owner loves him. The fans love him. He's become the face of that franchise in the time they've been there. There's like, if you go to Vegas, there's tons of Fleury jerseys everywhere. And
yep,
he had a monster season. He just won the Vezina. There's a lot of reasons for them to be, you know what? Fleury's old, but he's still good. Our fan base loves him. Our owner loves him. And like, you know, Lehner didn't have an amazing season. He's got a lot of term left on his contract. Maybe you're less sure that he's going to be able to deliver on that contract.
Yeah, that's fair. And maybe you say, you know what? We'd be better off using that cap space elsewhere. The question is, like, what would you, if you're Kelly McCrimmon, what do you even ask for? Let's say in a hypothetical conversation with the Leafs, like, it's not like they have scoring that they can give you, really. And it's not like they, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even know what would make sense
but Vegas,
in a trade.
If they make trade one of their goalies, it's to create cap space for them to be able to do something else. Like, if they decide we don't want to dedicate $12 million to the goalies again because we need to sign another impact forward, right? So,
so you just flip them for futures,
kind of? You said, yeah, as you said earlier, or like a young player that fits in well, or, you know.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, like, I mean, it's the same thing, though. Like, and that's why, you know, Lehner is a couple names down our list because, you know, we thought that, I mean, his contract is relatively big. You're committing to 4 years. The acquisition cost in a trade is relatively high.
Mm-hmm. But the highest, according to our
I like Lehner, model. Though. I mean, he's been a good goalie for a long number of years. And
yep.
And $5 million is not really a prohibitively expensive contract. So
no, and then even if Jack Campbell doesn't have a great year, you kind of feel decent about where you're at beyond this season and goal.
But I don't want to give up, like, I don't know, I don't want to give up like a first round pick or something. So it's going to be a situation where like Vegas just decides they need to move one of these guys, and that's that. And the other thing too is, like, you know, we're talking about Fleury as well. I mean, he's got a $7 million cap hit. Like, the Leafs aren't going to be able to absorb that. So, you know, yes, if that's going to be the goalie that's traded, they're going to need Vegas to eat some of that contract. And then are they going to be willing to do that? They were willing
and
to do that.
And what do they want to do that?
They were willing to do that in a trade last year, but, you know, things have changed. Fleury had an amazing bounce back season, and Lehner didn't play very well. So,
yeah,
you know,
it's like, what do you trade your most popular player, the Vezina Trophy winner, for? You know what I mean? Like,
it sounds like this is a question that Vegas is wrestling with. Like, what do we do with this? You know, it's
difficult.
The goalie situations and writing about it was complicated because expansion complicates it. There's a lot of UFA goalies this year. There's a bunch of teams that have two goalies that, or even some cases, three goalies. Like, look at, we didn't talk about the Columbus goalies, but Columbus needs to trade a goalie. But you look at the two guys, and it's like, I saw Aaron Portsline, who covers the Blue Jackets for us, he wrote a story a couple of weeks ago that was like, which one of these guys do you keep and which one do you trade? Like, it's not, and you can say the same thing for, we talked about Arizona with Kemper and Hill. You can say the same thing. Vegas is obviously one of them. There's other ones I'm forgetting, but there's all these like goalie kind of conundrums around the league. And the Leafs have to kind of read the tea leaves here and try and take advantage and try and get some of the goalies that shake loose in this situation.
It's such a great point. Like, even Boston, like, you don't know what's going to happen with Rask. And obviously, they've got Swayman. But, like, maybe if Rask leaves, they're just like, Halak, we'll bring you back. Like, you'll just be our guy again.
Well, Rask has
again.
Said he wants to only be in Boston, right? So, I feel like that gets done. And there would have to be some sort of weird thing that happens there for it not to get done. What about Grubauer in Colorado? Like, everyone thought that was going to get done. And then here we are less than 3 weeks, or is it? It's like exactly 3 weeks from free agency today, as we're recording this right now. That's not done. It doesn't sound like there's been a ton of progress, at least from what I could tell. Maybe that doesn't get done. Maybe Colorado all of a sudden become, you know, one of the best teams in leagues. Like, we need a starter. And maybe Grubauer goes on the open market as potentially the best UFA available. And he's going to have a big price tag on him, but that changes the way the goalie market looks. And maybe some team out there, let's say like Anaheim really likes Grubauer and they're like, we want to get Grubauer. We're going to trade Gibson. And that like shakes up the goalie landscape around the league. I don't know. I mean, I'm just speculating, but there's a lot of unsettled situations right now in goal.
Well, and I would assume his price tag's too much for the Leafs, and also there are question marks with him. Like, it's tough. Like, Colorado has had goalie issues. Obviously, part of it is his injuries, and man, like it, like you said, you, I think you've hit on the nail on the head. It's a really, like, it's like there's so many balls in the air. Like you're juggling so many things right now. If you're the Leafs, like you just don't know how this is going to shake out.
Did we get through the whole goalie list? We didn't talk about Reimer versus Bernier, which is let me just quickly mention the goalies we didn't talk about that are were on our list.
Sure.
Mrazek, Bernier, Reimer, Ranta, we didn't really talk about, and then the two Columbus goalies. Those mm-hmm. are all relatively down our list. I actually thought Bernier was going to end up scoring higher, but I think it shows how many good goalies there are potentially available that someone like Bernier who... And the other thing I think people have to keep in mind with Bernier, too, is he's going to get some term on his contract, likely. I mean, it's hard to know exactly how the goalie market's going to shake out, but I mean, he was on a brutal Detroit team and played relatively well.
It's just hard to see them going back to that.
No, I don't think.
Same with Reimer.
I poked around on Reimer. It doesn't really seem like that's going to be a thing that happens, but you know, maybe the Leafs don't get their top four or five options. And then it ends up being that, you know, you sign one of the guys that's left for less.
Yeah, the problem with the other two guys, Mrazek and Ranta, is I just don't really trust them. Like, Ranta has been hurt a ton, and Mrazek just hasn't really...
You know what?
He's just been fine. He's been okay.
You know what surprised me about Mrazek is that he's played a lot more games than I thought. Like, he's been around...
Well, he was Detroit's, like, half, like, guy for a while.
He had some games in, or some seasons in Detroit where he played a lot of games. So, Mrazek actually was... I went into it being like, this guy's like... You know, who knows what you're going to get from him? And I looked at it a little bit closer. I was like, you know what? Like, and the thing too is that some of his like advanced statistics, goaltending statistics, are better than I expected. So, you know, he and the injury that he had, he was the one in Carolina, I think, that had he broke his hand, right? Like someone crashed into him, and like I don't know, I don't know that I can necessarily hold that injury against him. And he's actually played a lot of seasons where he's played a lot of games, so. I don't know that I want to write him off just because he's injury prone. I think that he's actually kind of interesting.
All right. I think we've gotten through everyone. We need to get to the Morgan Rielly conversation. I think it was interesting to kind of look through all the guys, and I came away with, unlike last off season, you looked around and you're like, yeah, is there really great options? Now it just seems like there's better options than there were.
Maybe that's before. Why the Leafs aren't that worried about the goal. Maybe they just feel like there's four guys we like. We're going to make a play for all of them, and we feel pretty good that we're going to get one of them and be happy with them.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, James. We wrote about the three paths that the Leafs can take with Morgan Rielly this offseason. And we believe that they're kind of at a crossroads with him, just in the sense that they can sign him to an extension or not. And if they don't, should they trade him?
Jonas, they're at a crossroads. There's not.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Not
you didn't like.
Of, it's not maybe. It's not.
Well, yeah, there's a crossroads. I said at a crossroads. You didn't like in our story when I initially put sort of, because like, anyway, it doesn't matter. We're going through this exercise together. We looked into it. Where do you think they go with this? Big question.
I don't know.
Take a deep breath.
I don't know what they're going to do. I don't have... I think what I was able to find out is it certainly there's optimism that there's optimism that Morgan Riley's going to take a number that makes sense for the Leafs. That's what we were able to find out in our reporting, is that Morgan Riley really wants to play for the Leafs. He wants to stay. And it sounds like he'll be willing to take a number that's going to be less than his value on the open market. Looking at all of the comparables, looking at some of the contracts around the league recently, I would say his open market value is a long-term deal around $7 or $7.2 million, even in a flat cap environment. That's going to be too much for me to bring him back with the Leafs. But if Morgan Riley wants to do something that gets that cap hit down, you know, ideally you're looking at low sixes, then all of a sudden I'm a lot more interested. So, and I think that I don't know exactly where the number is going to come in, but I think that there's a conversation there that makes sense for the Leafs and for Riley to keep him.
Yeah. So after we published that, I kept thinking about it. And initially that was my thought too. Like if you can sign him to, I don't know, a 6-year contract around $6 million per, like I'd consider it, because as you pointed out during our conversations, they can always trade him. Like there's always going to be a team that's willing to trade Morgan Riley. Number,
right? Like if it's a decent cap hit, he'll have value. And look how many minutes he played last year.
Yeah, the most on the team.
He's a workhorse at
I guess what's concerning me a little bit, James, I feel like with extensions, you got to be really careful. And there are some indicators that kind of worry me a little bit. Obviously, his power play role is to be determined. He doesn't kill penalties. Defensively, obviously, he's not elite or close to it. He does some things really well, obviously, moving the puck, driving the offense. But I just worry about committing now when I'm not totally sure. And that would lead you to the trade conversation. The tough thing with the trade conversation is like, how do you trade him and still keep your defense in a reasonably good place? Because like you said, he plays tons of minutes. So if you're trading him, you're going to need someone back, or you're going to need to sign someone who can play those kinds of minutes.
It's funny, you know, I went into this, you know, I wrote earlier in the offseason that about them potentially trading Riley and the reasons why it might make sense and the cap space that it would free up and all this stuff. And then we went through this exercise and I talked to lots of people around the league and, you know, learned how much Riley wants to stay and that he's going to take quite a bit less to stay. And my opinion changed because I don't see Dermott or Sandin being ready to replace him. And
not this year,
and
right?
I don't think they would be a year from now either. You're in this contention window with Matthews and Marner and Tavares and, you know, Muzzin and Brody, the ages that they are. You've got this group. And the other thing too, and we've talked about this and we've disagreed about this, so we don't need to go all into this again, but like, I don't want to lose Morgan Riley for nothing. So I want to either make a decision here. And if the decision is to trade Riley and get something back, then do that. And if the decision is to extend him and make him part of the future, then do that. I understand the fans that are down on Morgan Riley. I think what you have to realize is that for $6 million, you're not getting the best defenseman in the NHL, or for 6.3 or whatever. You're getting a defenseman that has... Riley brings a lot of really positive elements, and he brings some negative elements too. And it's on the coaching staff to find ways to use him in the way that makes the most sense to take advantage of his positives and to mitigate his negatives. And, you know, I think we saw that in the playoffs. I think he had a really good postseason. Do you think the injuries have accumulated for him? Because I don't know that his mobility this season didn't look maybe as dynamic as it has been in the past. And that would be a concern for me.
Sure, that's reasonable. I just wonder how much of that is aligned with how they wanted to play and not taking the kinds of chances he might have taken in the past. Now, he still took chances, obviously, and sometimes those didn't pay off.
Well, people are down on Riley for all of the odd man rushes that have been coming back the other way. It looked like to me that they were almost telling him, you're going to be our defenseman that activates again and again and takes chances. And because we know that Brody's so good coming back the other way that he's...
Well, and that's like, if you have Riley, what's the point of Riley if you're not going to have him take the odd chance? You know what I mean? Like, He's good at it.
That's the kind of question I would love to ask the coaching staff when we're not like on a Zoom call with everyone listening. I would like to, say to Sheldon Keefe, like, or go talk to Morgan Riley in the dressing room and be like, are they telling you to like be really aggressive and to activate as many times as possible and to go for those 50-50 pucks? And, you know, people can be down on the player all they want for making bad decisions, but it could be part of their scheme where they want him to do that in order to generate offense and they feel comfortable about what they're going to have coming back the other way. Like maybe they're asking a forward to cover for him or I don't know. I just,
well, and James, like that's what happens. Like you're going to remember the chances that don't work out more than you are the chances that do. That's to me, like it reminds me a bit of the Gardner situation where you just remember the blunders and you kind of lose sight of everything that he does well. The problem I have with your stance is you're presenting me with two not great options. And if those aren't great options, like I don't love the idea of like the contract, depending on what the contract is. Like I'm like, okay, like depending on the terms and the trade is tough to pull off. I don't hate just keeping him around. And I know the front office kind of isn't against that idea and hasn't been against that idea, obviously, with lots of their key players. So to me, like if I was scaling it like that, to me, that feels the likeliest that they just keep him and don't sign him.
But it'll look really bad if he walks, though. Like it's like,
but you can always sign him later. Like you can always sign him next summer.
You have to, like you're removing the trade option off the table.
Right. But that gives you another year to see where your team is at.
But it gives Riley the leverage where he, you know, all of a sudden, like.
But if he's willing to take a discount now, isn't he going to be willing to take a discount later? And it, yeah, that's where I feel.
I get what you're saying that you don't love either option, but that's kind of where, that's where you end up with these situations, right? Like you.
Well, I mean, let me ask you this. Like, would the Leafs have been. Would the Leafs have been better off extending Zach Hyman last offseason?
Yes, of course they would have. Yes.
I guess it would have depended on what the contract was, right? Like if it was like 4x4 or something.
It would have been less than right now. I mean, if they wanted to keep him, then. Or the other thing too, Jonas, is I think they could have got a ton for him in a trade like if they traded him last offseason. I think they could have, maybe. I think they could have got a lot. His cap hit was low and other teams loved him. So by doing neither, by neither giving him, I don't know, like you got to be careful that if you do that too many times, you're just diluting your talent pool again and again. And the only way you can replenish it is either through the draft or through free agency. And the draft takes a lot of time, which the Leafs don't really have right now. And free agency players tend to be overpriced and expensive.
Yeah.
It's hard to win in free agency. It's hard to build your team. Like if you look at the teams that win the cup, like you look at Tampa, how many of those players did they sign in free agency? It's a pretty short list.
Yeah, and they've made trades. And like one thing that you watch them and their defense is obviously so deep. And they don't have to play Victor Hedman the toughest minutes, and they don't. Like they have basically two other pairs that can take the tough minutes, which man, and like you're looking at it, so Hedman they draft, obviously. They trade for McDonough. They trade for Chernak. And Sergachev they trade for and then develop, and like he's awesome. And then they trade for Savard. Like,
so the way that they're able to trade for those players is they have
drafts.
They have a talent.
Good draft picks.
Yeah, and they have a talent base on their roster that they're like, they are not letting guys walk to UFA and just letting them go. I know they went through it with the Stamkos situation, but I think that was one where they felt like he was going to stay and they felt comfortable. And maybe the Leafs feel like that with Riley. Maybe they feel like the deal is going to get done because maybe the negotiations are, this is the way that what you're saying makes sense. If the negotiations with Riley are to the point where the Leafs are like, okay, we feel pretty good that this will get done and we like the number.
Yeah. I think that makes sense.
To me, it seems like they're going to keep him. So
I just think he's different than those other guys. Like he's more foundational. Obviously, he's been around like almost 10 years now.
I don't really like the Leafs blue line without him, to be honest. I mean, I think that if you're going to trade him, you need some sort of alternate solution there. If that's
Hamilton, it would be different if and then you're paying through the nose to sign Dougie Hamilton, and Dougie Hamilton's older and obviously better, but.
Dougie Hamilton's going to get $8 million a year on like a long deal. So yes, he's better, but he's going to be more expensive than Morgan Riley.
It's going to be more expensive. Yeah. It's complicated. It's a difficult situation. Before we go, let's briefly touch on the Wayne Simmonds deal. 2 years, $900K. So he gets a little bit more term. The Leafs get a dip. I don't have a problem with it. I do think that whatever they do next in terms of free agency trades, they need to make their roster or their forward group more younger, a little more agile, a little more skilled.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Simmonds
signing?
I can
only evaluate the Simmonds signing when I see what they do the rest of the offseason, because
yeah,
I don't think that the forward group's depth was good enough this past season, and they haven't made it better yet. Obviously, it looks like free agency is going to be where that happens. Simmonds, like that number is more appropriate for what his value is. You know, and I know he said in the press conference after they signed him that the injury really kind of affected his effectiveness.
Nice. I like that wordplay.
Yeah, that was let's do more tongue twisters here early in the morning on the podcast. Because there were points in time during the season where Simmonds looked really, really good, and then he broke his wrist, and we didn't really see that Wayne Simmonds again. So, you know, it sounds like the Leafs feel like they can get him back to that level. Simmonds really wants to be there, obviously. I think as long as you're willing to sit him at times when you need to, and as long as you don't play him too high in the lineup, I think it's fine.
My only concern is that they love the personality so much that they're willing to kind of let some of the on-ice questions linger. Like, I'm just not sure how much he has left. Like, to me, he should be a clear fourth liner. Like, I don't play him higher than that.
So, what I was going to say, Jonas, is that they have too many guys who are probably fourth liners. Like,
yes.
Engvall is a fourth liner. I'm forgetting somebody.
Spezza.
Spezza is
Brooks.
Best served by being on your fourth line. Brooks. Mikheyev, you can make the case, unless he can generate more offense, probably should be on your fourth line.
Like, yeah, on a really good fourth line. Like, sure.
You look at who Tampa has on their third line, and they don't. None of those guys would be good enough to be on Tampa's third line.
No. Well, and that was the problem in the playoffs. Like, they basically had two fourth lines, and neither could score. Obviously, Jason Spezza scored. But you couldn't expect anything from Mikheyev and Engvall and Kerfoot. Thornton, obviously had Simmonds. Points, but yeah. So interesting. All right. Well, this was fun.
There's going to be a lot happening here. The expansion draft is less than 2 weeks away. Free agency is less than 3 weeks away. So we're going to have a really good idea what next year's Leafs team is going to look like in 3 weeks. So. I know there hasn't been a ton of content on The Athletic on the Leafs lately, but I think what we've done has been good, and we put a lot of time and research and reporting into it. But that's going to change here real quick when stuff starts happening.
It's going to be a fun time. So we appreciate you tuning in, sticking with us. If you haven't tried The Athletic, go to theathletic.com/leafreport. And obviously, the Cup Final, as we record this, is still going. It could be done by the time you listen to this. You can check out The Athletic Hockey Show if you want to hear some Stanley Cup chatter. And obviously, there's a lot going on outside of the Stanley Cup Final with the situation in Chicago. There's lots to pick through right now in the NHL, for sure, right, James?
I agree, Jonas.
All right. Well, thank you, James. Thank you, everyone. And we will be back next week.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.